Please open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. To the angel of the church at Ephesus write, "These are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favour. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God." And this is the word of God.
Our message today is called Return to Jesus. Return to Jesus. I believe it's God's call to you, to me, and to every follower of Jesus. And I believe the Lord is speaking, is calling, return to me. Return to me, says Jesus. In all my 37 years of following Jesus, I have never heard of so many Christians leave the church. The statistics are alarming. They say about 30 to 40% of Christians are no longer coming to church. And God knows how many of that number are no longer following Jesus. I've never seen so many Christians so confused, so doubtful, and so deceived. So lukewarm, so cold, so apathetic, so self-absorbed, so many leaders and pastors so compromising of the Word of God, so worldly, so distant from the Lord. Christians who are even attending church regularly who are distant from the Lord. They are in church but far from the Lord. Now I know we've come out of a pandemic that has felt like a World War II or World War III. It has been a major trauma for many of us. We've suffered loss, we've gone through much discouragement, fear and anxiety. We've been impacted spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, socially, and in so many other ways. It's been tough and it's been hard. As a result, many Christians have turned to everything for relief instead of the only one who could actually give relief. And are still seeking relief in other things instead of Jesus. But this only keeps them empty, wounded, lost, and distant from the Lord. And so I believe with all my heart that God is calling you, calling me, calling us as followers of Jesus everywhere to return to Him. To return to Jesus as our first love. And it's not for people who are just gone into the world and living in sin. It's for me to return to Him in every area in my life where I have left Him. To every area of my life where I have substituted other things for Him. Friends, He is the river of life, Revelation says, from which all things flow that we need. He is our relief and no one else. He said, come to me. I am the one who gives you rest, who gives you relief. Friends, He is our healing, our restoration, our joy, our peace, our sanity. He is our very life. And unfortunately, we don't believe Him. We say He is, but we turn to other things to be our life and our relief. Now, first, we're going to look at some passages from the Old and New Testament where God calls and commands His people to return to Him. And then I will conclude with the three steps that Jesus gives of how to return to Him as our first love. Friends, in the Old Testament, God's people had a history of wandering away from God. But God, the loving Father, the Creator, would always call them back to Him. Call them back to Him. Because they would disobey. They would walk away from Him and follow after other gods. And can I be honest, we are no different. Our gods just look differently. Our gods are better concealed and nicely packaged. We can easily say they're okay. But God sees right through them. Well, let's look into some of those passages where God commands and calls us back to Him. Call them back to Him. In Malachi 3:7, God says, ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you. That call of God. Return to me and I will return to you. That's a promise. Now when God says return to me, it means come back to that high state, to that place, that best state that you were in when you were following me. I want your best in following me. In Jeremiah 2:12-13, God says, be appalled at this, you heavens, and shudder with great horror, declares the Lord. My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water. And they have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water, no relief, no life. My people have committed two evils. Not two bad things, two evil things. What have they done? Number one, they're forsaking me. And he refers to himself as the source of living water, which means that he is life and that he's the only true God. And the other source is death and the other source is false gods. That's the first. We've forsaken God. The second thing he says, not only you're forsaking me, but you've dug your own cisterns. You know, that's a powerful passage here, I tell you. It convicts me all the time. Don't ever think that because we're following the Lord and we're serving Him, that there are no areas of our life where we dig our own cisterns. We turn away from Him. He says, you've dug your own cisterns, like in the Old Testament. He used to dig these cisterns to hold water, rainwater, whatever water. But those cisterns were broken cisterns most of the times, and the water that would be in it would be stagnant water. And most of the time, they crack and they sip, the water sips out of them. He says, you're trying to find relief and life and in things that are stagnant. They're at their best, they're stagnant and they slip, they sip away, they don't last. What are you turning to? And you're digging your own things instead of digging into me and into my word. You're digging into things that won't give you life. They will leave you empty and stagnant. God says, this is evil. Because after all I have done for you, you leave me for other gods and seek other things to satisfy you instead of me, the only one who can satisfy. Can I ask you honestly this morning and ask me, what have we left God for in certain areas of our life? What have we substituted? What have we turned to for relief? Have we left him when it comes to his word? Have we left him when it comes to reading his word? Or have we left him when it comes to talking to him? Have we left him when it comes to serving? Have we left him when it comes to obedience, delighting and worshiping and singing and serving? In Isaiah 31:6, God says, "Return to the one against whom you have so blatantly rebelled, O children of Israel." In Isaiah 44:22, "Turn back to me. Turn back to me. I have rescued you and swept away your sins as though they were clouds." Man, this is not just a hard father. This is a loving God. But a firm and clear and honest. In Joel 2:13, "Tear your hearts, not your garments. Turn back to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to become angry, overflowing in gracious love." Man, that sounds like the New Testament, doesn't it? Of the Jesus that we know, that loves us. He says, it's not the externals I care about. I care about your heart inside of you. Turn back. I'm gracious. I'm compassionate. Where are you going to find grace? In no one else but the gracious one. I'm the compassionate one. Where are you going to find compassion? It's in him. Slow to become angry, overflowing in gracious love. Friends, that's who we need to turn to. In the New Testament, in 2 Corinthians 11:3, Paul says, "But I'm afraid." Listen to this powerful passage. He says, Paul says, I don't hear Paul say, "I'm afraid" many times, right? But he says here, "I'm afraid. I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ." Wow. You think we are, we don't need that? You think we're not vulnerable to that? The biggest problem in the day of Paul and in our day today is the tendency to forsake, to be deceived, to be led astray from our sincere and pure devotion to Christ, friends. We're deceived by other things, other pleasures, other hobbies and other things that can draw us away. Even the busyness of life and the problems and the challenges and children, and we can add so many other things, friends. But we get deceived. We get deceived very easily to be led astray from our sincere and pure devotion to Christ. And Paul says, "I'm afraid." We might even not only forsake him, but we cling to other religious duties instead. We forsake our relationship with Jesus as our first priority and the source of life, and we cling to worthless things. We might cling to serving in church. We serve God, but we don't really talk to him. We serve to him maybe so that others might see us or appreciate us, but it's not because we're in love with the Lord and don't care whether people see us or don't see us. I serve because he served me. I love him because he loved me. Not here to do religious duties, but I serve out of relationship for the one who loved me and gave himself for me. We turn to things thinking they would give us relief or satisfaction. Paul says, "I'm afraid for you. You've been deceived by Satan when you do that." Turn back to God. Turn back to Jesus, friends. Stop digging your own cisterns. Keep that for this week. Stop digging your own cisterns. Now, in our remaining time, I'll mainly just focus on the passage in Revelation 2, 1 to 7. Let's turn to it very quickly. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you've tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and you found them false. You have persevered, yes, and you've endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Awesome. I added that one. Yet I hold this against you. You've forsaken the love you had at first. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Remember from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first deed you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstands from its place. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practice of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, to the one who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Friends, here Jesus says to his followers, I hold everything in my hand. I hold the seven stars. I walk amongst you. I'm in your presence. I see you. I hear you. I know your challenges. I know who you are. I know where you work. I know how you serve. I know where your heart is. And I know you do a lot. And I know you do a lot of wonderful things. And I know you hate what I hate. But you know what? In the midst of all that, I see all that good. But you have forsaken what's most important. You've left me. As I am supposed to be your first love, your number one priority. You've left me. And now what does he mean that they have left their first love? Well, left means to forsake, to abandon. Left means like a husband leaves his wife, or a wife chooses to leave her husband. They didn't do it accidentally. They didn't lose Jesus. They left Jesus. First means first, right? Means Jesus is no longer the number one love of your life. He's not the number one priority of your life. He's not the most important relationship of your life. Other things are. The other one, love. Love first, left, first, and love. Love means they are no longer committed to loving Jesus with all their heart, soul, and spirit, and mind. They are no longer following and obeying him as their priority and love relationship. Now, when someone leaves someone, they normally cling to someone else. They've left Jesus for other lovers, for other pleasures, for other religious duties. And Jesus warns them of this great danger of leaving him. And if they don't return to him as their Lord, there's going to be consequences. But in the midst of that strong warning, of that clear and honest warning, and I want to tell you, Jesus is speaking very sternly, very firmly, very strongly. And yet, what does he do? In the midst of all that, he is so gracious and loving and gives them a way to return to him and calls them lovingly to return to him. And he gives three steps for returning to him and renewing their relationship of loving him first and making him their number one priority. Let me look at those three steps of returning to Jesus as our first love and priority. Number one, remember, he says, from where you have fallen. Remember from where you have fallen. What does Jesus want us to do, wants them to do in returning? The first thing you've got to remember, he says, is remember from the height of relationship you used to have with me, the love you used to have for me, the priority that I was, remember that height and where you are right now in terms of your relationship with me, your love for me, how you prioritize me. Remember from where you have fallen. You have fallen. That's the issue. You have fallen. You've left. You've forsaken me. Remember from where you have fallen. I can't help but think of the prodigal son when he was in the midst of the garbage with the pigs, right? It says he came to his senses and he remembered his father and his father's house and all the goodness. He came to his senses, and Jesus is saying, come to your senses, remember how it was and where you are now. Compared to when you first believe, when I was the most important person in your life. Remember, in a way Jesus is saying, do you remember how I lifted you out of the garbage of this world and how I cleansed you and washed you? Do you remember the love I poured upon you? Do you remember how I cleansed you? Remember how I filled you with my spirit and joy and peace and restored you and made you whole? How I blessed your life? Do you remember? Do you remember how you used to walk with me, how you used to pray and talk to me? Do you remember how you used to enjoy me and sing to me with all your heart? Remember how you used to can't wait to come to worship me, to hear my word? Remember how you used to love opening your word and just letting me speak to you? How you used to obey me? Do you remember how when I convicted you of sin, how quickly you repented and you grieved over your sin? But now you ignore my conviction. Remember how you couldn't wait to serve me and now you don't care? Do you remember? Do you remember how you're on fire for me? How joyful, how peaceful? Do you remember? Remember from when you have fallen. Do you remember how you were full of my love, my joy, my peace, but now you're loveless, joyless, troubled? Remember how thankful you were for whatever I would do, but now you forget and you're unthankful. Remember how you tried every day to live right and not grieve me, but now you don't care. Before you wanted to serve and tell others about me, but now you can't be bothered. Friends, Jesus doesn't get them to remember their feelings, but he gets them to remember their actions of how he was their first love. Let's remember this morning from where we have fallen in areas of our life. Number two, he says not only remember, but repent. Repent. Jesus does not say your condition is okay. I love this about the Lord. When there's sin in our life, he calls it out. He says, repent. He says, turn back. And friends, a lot of people will say, it's okay. It's okay you're sleeping around. It's okay that you're addicted to this or addicted to that. It's okay that you're no longer coming to church. It's okay that you don't do this. God still loves you. Yeah, he loves you. But guess what? Unless you repent, you're in trouble. God loves you enough to tell you, turn, so that you would not perish. He says, return to me. That's what he means by repent. Return to me. Turn around from going the wrong way. Confess your sins and stop those things that prevent you from making me the priority of your life. Repent from those things that are enslaving you. Friends, in 1 Samuel 7:3, listen to this amazing passage. So Samuel said to all the Israelites, if you are returning to the Lord with all your hearts, then rid yourselves of the foreign gods and the Ashtoreth and commit yourselves to the Lord and serve Him only. You want to know what true repentance is? That is what true repentance is. Getting rid of our Ashtoreth and our Baals, the gods of the idols of this world. Getting rid of whatever is standing between us and our relationship with God. And he said, serve him only. John the Baptist would say, bear fruits worthy of repentance. In Acts 3:19 it says, repent therefore and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out and times of refreshing might come from the Lord. As I speak these things to you, I'm speaking them to me. And I need them more than you imagine. I need them daily. Friends, we need to repent for leaving Jesus for other things and get rid of whatever gods we are turning to. Repent from having a heart that is cold toward him. Repent from not loving him as he deserves and turn and commit to following him with all our heart. And the good news is that when we hear such words and we think, I can't do this, it's too much for me, right? In Hebrews it tells us, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Friends, we can come not arrogantly but humbly to the throne of grace. We can come confidently. When we repent, he will give us grace to repent. He will give us empowerment to live a godly life, to turn back to him. That's the kind of God. He doesn't leave us to our own strength but empowers us as we come to him. And lastly, not only do we need to remember and repent, we need to do the works or do the deeds you did at first, he says. Do the deeds you did at first. Here Jesus commands us to return to loving him by taking action and doing the deeds we did at first, which made Jesus our first love, made him our priority, made him number one, made him our love above all loves. Do the deeds. He does not say you better work up some emotions and feelings for me. Instead, he said, do the things that cause you to love me above all. Now, what might these things be? You know them. You know them all. Continually repent from living in sin. Friends, we need to continually repent is to turn back to God. Wherever we find our heart moving away, repent. Wherever we find we've turned to a particular idol or sin, turn from that and turn to God. Continually read the word and read the word in a way where you hear God speak to you through it. It's his word. Read his word and let it soak you. Don't just let it give you information. Let it transform you. Let it break you. Let it heal you. Let it set you free. Let it change you. That's what the word of God is for. To nourish us and make us more like Jesus. Let us continually obey what the Lord is telling us. What we know he wants us to. Let us continually talk to him and walk with him throughout the day. Whatever we work, whatever we're challenged with, whether we're into tears, let's cry out to him in pain. If you're in joy, send to him. Talk to him. Include him in your life, friends. Not just on a Sunday morning here and we leave him here. We take him back to lunch. We take him back in our driving. We take him back to work. He is our life. He is the source and everything. Continually fellowship with other believers who love Jesus, friends. Get a few friends around you who can tell you the truth, who can challenge you about your spiritual life, who can encourage you, who can walk with you so that you can be a disciple of Jesus who's growing. Continually serve Jesus, friends. Don't be a lazy Christian, whether you're 10 years old or 110, keep serving Jesus. Tell me how. If you're 110, you could pray and intercede and your prayers will be amazing. And powerful. Keep serving by giving. Keep serving by encouraging, by mentoring in every way you can. By being a light in your family, in your neighborhood. By making Jesus known to others through you. Friends, this is what we need to do if we want to return to him And as we do these practices consistently, I believe we will return to Jesus and He will become our first love and our priority. Our lives will be realigned to make Him first and keep realigning. Our Lord loves us deeply despite our tendency to wander away from Him and to disobey. He loves us and cares about us. In Zechariah 1:3, He lovingly pleads, "Return to me and I will return to you." Isn't that beautiful? Return to me, Father God says, our Savior said, return to me and I promise to return to you. I'll return to you. What does it mean that God will return to you? You know what it means? I will return in my presence to you. I will return and you will encounter my love and my peace and my joy. You will encounter my blessing. You will encounter my fellowship, my love. I'll return to you. You walk with me and I'll walk with you. Friends, when you work at the relationship with God, the relationship works. So, let us obey the Lord's command and return to Him by remembering where we have fallen, by repenting for forsaking our first love. And let us do the deeds we did at first that made Jesus our first love, our number one priority. And God says to you this, "For if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, I will heal their land." I will heal your relationship with me.